Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well,
welcome to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. And the Dog Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. You can find them online at AllTheBestPetCare.com, and you can see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. We have a great show today, as always. I've got some announcements to make, and then in a few minutes, we'll be bringing on Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue, a local rescue here in Western Washington. And we'll be talking about some questions that people should keep in mind to ask as they are selecting a new family member from a local shelter or rescue organization. And we'll be kind of talking about some other things related to the shelter and rescue world, but really just giving some information to set people and dogs up for success as people are looking for a new dog through that route. So we'll be talking with Kim in just a few minutes. Do want to make some announcements and just sort of chat. First of all, hi to Eric, our booth engineer and program coordinator here at KKNW. Hi,
good
Eric.
Afternoon, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
What a lovely day to take your dog for a walk.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Hey, it's raining.
It's not too hot.
It's Seattle. What do you expect?
There you go. Exactly.
I've been out on 2 walks, one with my own dogs first thing in the morning, and I'm happy to say that the sun is rising earlier. I can tell, which
yes.
is nice.
And lasting longer.
And lasting
so
longer.
So that dog walk window is much longer now. Yeah. So
we went out, and then I was out with this dog that I'm working with for training through my company, Sensitive Dog. I'm working with this. One of the dogs I'm working with is a Belgian Malinois, and I am just...
I think I had one of those for breakfast.
This breed, they're just amazing, and I'm just totally smitten with this dog. It's just awesome. So we took a nice long walk today as well as part of her training because she is challenged around other dogs on leash, as are many dogs, I know in this area at least. And she's doing great, so I'm very proud of her.
Now, what does a Belgian Malinois look like?
Malinois looks...
Doesn't look like a waffle, right?
No.
Okay.
It looks probably the closest to a German Shepherd. A lot of people ask, is that a German Shepherd? But they're like reddish. Their coat is more red.
And you say,
red.
Au contraire, mon frère.
Right.
This dog is Belgian, not German.
No. So they have a black face, too.
Okay.
All red right. hair. Black
sounds like
face,
a cute dog.
But sort of look a similar shape to a German Shepherd. Really beautiful dogs. I have a few announcements before we bring Kim Howard on, and want to throw out there that the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show is coming up soon, about a month, weekend of March 10th. It is a all day Saturday and Sunday event. And it's a blast. We'll have a booth there again this year for the 3rd year in a row. And I can't wait. It's my favorite event to be at, to have a booth at. And I just love watching the dogs and the demonstrations and the agility trials. And, of course, all of the people watching is very fun. I love all of the dog breed specific apparel that I see at the dog show. But we'll be there. So if you do go, I highly recommend you go. It's a blast. And we'll have a booth there again right across from the Seattle Kennel Club information booth. You can find us there. So if you are a listener, please do come and say hi. I'd love to say hi to you and meet you. And that, again, is the weekend of March 10th this year. And you can go to skc.org to find out more about the Seattle Kennel Club and their dog show. Also, want to give an update. My nose work class is going very well. I started my own dogs in a nose work class with Miriam Rose. We're in our 3rd week this week, so Friday will be our 3rd class. And my dogs are just like ravenous for the work. It's amazing to watch. And it's funny when I I'm bringing all three of my dogs to this class, and each dog works one at a time, so I'm able to do that. And so every time I go and get one of my dogs and leave the other two in the car to wait their turn, man, do I get cussed out by them. It is so funny. They, especially Levi, the male cattle dog, who's the one that I would say needs it the most, although they all need it. It's like as if I could translate, it would be like, and I won't use profanity since we're on the radio, but
yes,
there would
thank
be.
You. I do have a dump button here.
There
but,
would be profanity if I was translating accurately, but it's basically like, get your butt back here and take me out now because it's my turn again. Yeah, they're loving it. So we're excited. We have week three on Friday, and I highly recommend this for anybody and their dog, any breed, any age dog, any breed or age person as well. You can find Miriam Rose and her nosework classes online at nwnoseworks.com. So let's bring Kim Howard on, who is the director of Three Rivers Rescue. We're going to be talking about what people can do to choose a dog from a shelter or rescue group successfully, some questions that people should have in mind. So let's start talking to Kim. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi, Julie. I'm well, thanks.
Thanks so much for taking the time today to be on the show and to share with us your expertise in this as the director of Three Rivers Rescue. How long have you been the director at Three Rivers Rescue?
17.
Wow.
Trying years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's I appreciate, I've been doing my craft for 10 years, and I appreciate the benefit of experience. I mean, I continue to learn every year. I'm just blown away by how much I learn. And so to you own or in, and are the director of Three Rivers Rescue, which is here in Western Washington.
Mm-hmm. Snoqualmie.
And so tell us a little bit about your rescue and kind of how you're set up.
Well, we work with local shelters from Central Washington, Everett, and we're home-based. Mm-hmm. We have foster homes, but they have to go through a screening process, the foster home as well as the dog, to make sure that it's a dog that's sound to put in the appropriate home.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our foster homes have other dogs, have cats, and have children. So we have to make sure that all the dogs fit the criteria to fit into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of dog walking. We do a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs aren't kenneled, although they are crate trained. We don't have kennels. They're in homes. And the good foster homes are doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping a schedule, walking the dogs, you know, just teaching them basic manners, because so often rescue dogs haven't come from the best situations,
mm-hmm.
and need that little boost.
Well, and it's an important point, too, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see dogs that have never lived in a house. I mean, that were kept outside,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and oftentimes, you know, end up in a shelter because they're, you know, neglected or, you know, just not really considered part of the family. And so
right.
it's such a benefit for people, you know, that you're sort of that halfway house almost, where dogs have an opportunity to live in a house and not be, you know, in a cage all the time like they are in so many of the larger shelters.
Right, right. And they are doing the best they can. I mean, they have county contracts that every day some of those shelters have 20 to 50 dogs brought in.
Mm.
So the fact that they don't always get to get on a one-on-one with those dogs is certainly not their fault.
Sure.
And some of those dogs are definitely not candidates for my program,
mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't want them living next door to me.
Right.
So we're pretty selective. We've never had a shortage of great dogs.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions of them, and the thing about the outdoor dog is usually easier to transition to a house than the dog that's been locked in a kennel or a garage,
mm.
you know, in the house way too long.
Yeah.
Because they do learn terrible, terrible habits that way.
Right. Yeah, it's such a challenging and hard, I think, emotionally hard aspect of dogs in the world to really be connected to. And I just so appreciate all of the people who work in this way to help facilitate dogs getting into homes successfully, because it's not easy. It, you know, heartbreaking every day, pretty much. And so, I just really thank you for the work that you do. And all of your dogs are listed on Pet Finder. So that's how people can take a look at the dogs that you have and get in touch with you, too.
Which
if anybody...
is a phenomenal resource.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just a godsend.
And so if they go to Pet Finder, would they just search for Three Rivers Rescue? Or how? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And they can search by the area code, too, which is 98065.
98065. Okay, and that's Three Rivers Rescue. Well, Kim, we're going to take a quick break already, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about what, have you share your knowledge and experience and tell people what types of questions they should keep in mind and what types of things they should look for when selecting a dog from a shelter or rescue group so that it's the right fit for them and so that hopefully the match is successful and that the dog doesn't end up back in a shelter. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, that's exactly what we'll be doing, because it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. Gifted mystic Robin Alexis will join me for the show. Together, we'll be tuning into various animal situations around the world to find out what the animals have to say, what we humans need to learn, or what we can do to help. Plan to join us, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. I think it's interesting in that song that they say like big dogs, little dogs, fluffy dogs, Irish dogs.
Yep.
Like that would be the next obvious place to go.
There you go.
Well, there's big, there's small, there's fluffy, And then let's talk about the Irish dogs.
I think there's probably big, small, and fluffy Irish dogs, aren't there?
Well, there's Irish setters and
wolfhounds.
Irish terriers, Irish wolfhounds. Good one. Yeah.
So
there you go.
I think, we've covered the spectrum.
We really have. Well, we're back with Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you.
So we are going to talk about some tips and questions for people to ask the shelter or rescue group that they may be working with or inquiring about a dog to help people choose a dog successfully and to choose a dog that's the best fit for them so that the match is successful and so that the dog doesn't end up back in a shelter or rescue group so that these dogs really do find permanent homes. So one of the first things that you said, Kim, is that you warn people to not fall in love until you meet the dog.
Right.
So talk a little bit more about that.
Well, there's so many, and with pet finders, the pictures and the absolutely heart-wrenching stories.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to deny that there is some horrible things that have happened mm-hmm. to these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a reason to pick a dog that's inappropriate for your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do to reasonably fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Get your hands on the dog. Call the shelter. Meet with the dog. Spend a fair amount of time. Take them for a walkabout. Get to know. It can be the greatest dog in the world and may not be the right dog for you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we're so visually caught up and it pulls your emotions, especially if you have children.
Mm.
Say you're going to just walk dogs instead of we're going to go get a puppy because it's heartbreaking,
mm-hmm.
Primarily for kids. Mm-hmm. If it's not the right match.
That's a good point. So if you're bringing kids along to say that you're just going to visit with some dogs
mm-hmm.
and to not get
to
the
walk for the shelter.
Right. Not get the kids attached too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of protecting them from, you know, you tell them you're going to get a dog and they've already got the dog.
Right.
So, and sometimes that's hard to tell adults that too.
Right.
So, ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
What the dog knows, how long the shelters had the dog, just so you get a read on, do they have a couch?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Has the dog eaten your couch?
Right.
That's a good, important question to ask.
Yeah, so you could ask if the dog has had any training or any commands that the dog might
mm-hmm.
know. And that's not necessarily if the dog hasn't had, you know, a ton of training. It doesn't mean that that's going to be a good dog. It's just kind of good information to have what kind
you're
of language.
Prepared.
Right. And then you can also, if the dog has had even just a little bit of training, it gives you sort of an automatic verbal language anyway.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know what the foster home has used as a cue for that dog to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the transition a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And it is a nice thing with the home foster. And a lot of shelters know it, too. They
mm-hmm.
have volunteers and staff that has to, you know, handle those dogs. They can tell when a dog knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And asking those questions really does kind of prepare you for what you're in for.
Mm-hmm. What about questions about, you know, like you had said, I guess if the dog is living in a home environment versus a shelter situation where they're more in a run, there might not be information that people have, like does the dog destroy couches or, you know, like that type of information that they may not know. But, you know, asking about things that might pertain to your situation specifically, like you said, Kim, you know, are there kids involved? How is the dog with children?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cat? How is the dog with cats? And you know that you have cats as part of your rescue as well. And so you're able to sort of test the dogs and see how they respond to being in the same room as a cat. And then you can kind of give that information like, oh, yeah, this dog would definitely be not appropriate to live with a cat, or this dog didn't care about the cat. So if you have a cat, I don't see any, you know, that's kind of a big issue, you know, a dog getting along with existing pets.
It is. And let me start by saying we've never lost a cat.
Yeah, good.
Let me just start that I'm not like, we're really careful with our cat.
Of course.
And an important thing to ask yourself, too, is how is the cat, and I do ask people, how's the cat with a dog?
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't answer me that their cat's ever encountered a dog. So to your cat, the nicest dog in the world is still going to look like an alligator.
Right.
So you might want to borrow a cat-friendly dog.
Yeah.
Bring it over, have a cup of tea with your neighbor, see how your cat's going to react.
Yeah.
Because cats have unusual ways of showing their displeasure.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And, you know, in working, you know, on my end of things, I've had clients hire me because the new dog and cat, or the dog and the new boyfriend's cat, or, you know, we're wanting to move in together and my boyfriend or girlfriend has a cat and the dog's chasing the cat or whatever. And so much of that I've found for dogs that aren't like super, super high prey drive, they're actually really not trying to kill the cat. But if the cat is spooky and runs,
right,
the dog is like, oh, game on. Sweet. Like, you know, I'm just going to chase the cat. Whereas if the cat is like, I dare you, then the dog's like, okay, fine. You know, so it's the cat's ability to establish itself as well.
Right. And we have I dare you cats.
Yeah.
We're like, they go, I have teeth in my feet, so bring it.
Make my day.
But a cat that climbs a curtain and makes howling noises, even the nicest dog's going to think that's a little strange.
Right.
So before you go to the shelter, go look, get a dog from a neighbor who you know is solid, bring him over for a cup of tea, see if your cat's going to go nutty.
Yeah.
And it's just something to kind of, so the dog doesn't get brought back to the shelter.
Yep. Now, one of the questions that you said people should ask is the dog altered or fixed, so spayed or neutered?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that.
Well, anybody in rescue, well, most people in rescue, are really trying to help with the pet overpopulation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge problem here.
Yep.
It's not getting better.
No.
It isn't.
No. Nope.
And with the amount of rescues that we have going now, we should be seeing a difference. If a rescue, for whatever reason, says the animal's not altered, ask them why and wait. Taking home an unaltered pet is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It could be pregnant. It could come in heat.
Mm-hmm.
It could get out and breed with another pet.
Mm-hmm.
And the marking of males.
Mm-hmm.
A male dog that's intact has more likelihood to mark the side of your couch than if they've been neutered for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cost as well. You're paying an adoption donation, and that should go into ensuring that that animal is never going to reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Yep.
And it's generally cheaper for people to get a rescue dog than have a dog that's unaltered, take it to the vet and have the vet do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have vets do ours, but we do such a volume.
Yeah.
So it is, rescue dogs should be altered before they go to their home.
Mm-hmm. You know, you made a good point, and I think that, you know, once we get through some, you know, the points for people, I would like to talk to you a little bit more about the issue of overpopulation. And, you know, what you said is, you know, true, is that it's not the overpopulation problem is not getting better. It's getting worse. And so, you know, kind of questioning, well, how is it that how things are structured now seems to actually to be conducive to overpopulation, not helping resolve the problem, since the numbers just seem to get higher. I mean, that is
right.
What's happening. So why is it that more shelters are opening and having more and more of a need of shelters rather than seeing less of a need for shelters? And you know, actually what, especially I would say some of these, you know, larger ones that are just totally overwhelmed and just aren't really equipped. You know, I'd like to see, frankly, them ideally go away and us to not need them at all, because
right.
then we wouldn't have and then have more like a smaller, more attentive rescue organizations like yours that are,
mm-hmm.
you know, setting the dogs up more for success and that are looking at, is this dog a dangerous dog? Should this dog even be rehomed?
Right.
You know, so I'd kind of like to talk a little bit about that, but I do want to, you know, continue to talk before we jump to another topic.
Okay.
But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Kim Howard, director of Three Rivers Rescue. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Family owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website kemmleyelectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk 1150.
Untied dog in a telematic society. Change your average.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. We are back talking with Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you.
So we are talking about Kim has been the director of Three Rivers Rescue for 17 years, and we're talking about what people can do in choosing a dog, when they're looking to get a dog from a shelter or rescue group, what things people can look for, what questions people can ask the shelter or rescue group that the dog is coming from to, you know, help hopefully have this be a successful match, and so that the dog doesn't end up back in a shelter or rescue group. So just to recap, if you're just tuning in, we talked about, first of all, don't fall in love with a dog until you meet it in person. Probably a good idea for people as well. You know, a lot of times people will fall in love with the dog's picture or the dog's story. And it's not to necessarily say that that's not an accurate, you know, you may love the look of the dog and then you may love the dog in person as well. But to try to, you know, keep your head on straight as you're making this very important decision, both for your own sake and for the dog's as well. Is the dog altered? So is the dog spayed or neutered? They really should be before they leave a shelter or rescue group so that no accidental pregnancies happen, so that the dog, if it's a female dog, isn't pregnant, which we have had experience with through Darcy, my partner's service dog training program. You know, we work with Kim, we work with other shelters and bringing dogs in, and, you know, we've had that happen. And you would assume that the dog you're getting, that if the dog was pregnant, you would know, but you might not. So is the dog altered? Has the dog had any training? Does it know any commands? If it hasn't, well, that's not a deal breaker for sure. That's something you can easily do. But it's good to know, you know, does the dog know sit? Does the dog know how to lay down or wait at a door? Because those are things that you can do to kind of connect with the dog. And then you'll also know the language. One of the things, Kim, that you said is asking about the dog's schedule. What are they eating and when do they eat, so that you can, as you're transitioning the dog, you know when the dog is used to eating and you can try to match that as best you can, and to also know what the dog is eating. And unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, shelters are just feeding what they have to. And if you out there have listened to the show for a while, you know my stance on nutrition and you know, how important it is, and how, you know, these large brand companies that you would find at a grocery store and most of the brands at like a pet superstore actually are not good for pets. So if your dog is eating, the dog that you're adopting is eating some grocery store big name brand, you know, feed the dog a healthy food. And Kim, you said it's like the equivalent of sending a kindergartner to school on, you know, sugary cereal and soda. They're probably going to have behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nutrition, not only for the dog's health, but also for their behavior. If they're getting food, I mean, some of these pet foods actually have corn syrup in them.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
And they love it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Vaccine records.
Right.
So are you typically given that, you know, do you typically get that from, mm-hmm. you know, do the dogs come with that, or is that something that you have to do?
Most of the shelters on intake, when the dog is brought in either as a stray mm-hmm. or owner release, if the owner comes in and says, yes, my dog has all its shots, but there's no proof of that, the shelters will revaccinate the dog.
Yep.
Because distemper, parvo, primarily so much with young puppies.
Yeah.
Younger dogs are so vulnerable.
Yeah.
So they should get, the younger dogs should get shots every 3 to 4 weeks.
Right. They should get their rounds.
The puppy shot series is imperative.
Yeah.
So something you can take to your vet to make sure that they're on the same schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Deworming.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, so you know, to the best of their ability, they've tried to hit everything.
Yep. Deworming is a big one because a lot of dogs that we've seen have come, you know, especially like if so many dogs come when they were stray and, you know, they so often do have worms.
Mm-hmm.
And deworming is such a simple thing to do. You just, you know, get the, you can get it from your vet or hopefully, you know, the shelter rescue group has done that, has done a round. And sometimes you even need to do another round.
Yes.
But to kind of have that,
ten
you
days
know,
apart.
Yep. And if you're in question, just bring a stool sample to your vet and ask them to take a look at your new dog's poop and make
and
sure that everything's good.
And that is not even an expensive thing to do.
Yeah.
It can ward off so many problems and give you an idea. And another big one is Giardia.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You can, if that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And you can pick that up at a dog park pretty easy.
Yeah. It's very contagious.
Yeah.
And it can be, it can really be hard on a dog's digestive tract. It can be tough to get rid of, and it's so highly contagious. And those are all things, too, to be really careful about, especially, I mean, anyway, just as a responsible pet owner, but especially if you have another dog, you know, so that you're also protecting your existing pets as well.
Right. Which brings me to kennel cough, because probably 50% of the dogs in county-like shelters are so exposed to kennel cough.
Yeah. And they're so stressed, and they're immune, you know, and they're in the food they're eating. It's just so sad. And, yeah, they do often have... And so what is kennel cough?
A virus, sort of like a human cold.
Yep.
The vaccine for it is intranasal.
Mm-hmm.
It's shot up their nose. So a dog that's stressed and sometimes wet from the floors being cleaned really, really takes a hit.
Yeah.
So I can have a dog come in that's been vaccinated against it, coughing.
Yeah.
It is not a life-threatening thing.
Yeah.
If it goes secondary on a very young dog or an old dog, maybe.
Yeah.
If it goes secondary.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's just like a cold. 7 to 10 days, it's going to run its course. Most healthy dogs don't even need an antibiotic because it doesn't treat viruses.
Right.
So before you rush and get, you know, antibiotics to throw down your dog, I tell people a lot of times, take them in the bathroom while you take a shower, steam them.
Yeah.
And see if that doesn't help.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then another thing that you said, too, is to meet, when you're going to meet the dog wherever the dog is. So going to the rescue or shelter and to beware of meeting in a parking lot or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a comfortable place to meet a dog. I don't think for the dog or the potential adopter.
Right.
The likelihood of escape and the dog not knowing where it is is really high. And, you kind of want to see where the dog's living. What kind of situation is the dog being fostered in?
Right.
I think that's really important. And to see that relationship that the dog has with the other dogs.
Yeah.
With the family. I think that's I think it's better for the dog, too.
Yeah. And to speak to, as far as temperament goes, and I know one of the benefits of your rescue, which is Three Rivers Rescue, and if you want to see the dogs that Kim has, you can find her on Pet Finder. If you just search for Three Rivers Rescue, or you can punch in the zip code and tell us the zip code again.
98065.
One of the benefits of a dog that has come from your rescue is that you know the dog. I mean, and you know the dog in a home environment. You know the dog's temperament. This is so important. I had a woman that I know who's in a business networking group recently ask me, you know, I want a dog. I want to adopt a dog. You know, what should I look for? And, you know, of course, it's like, well, let me tell you in one sentence, you know, it's not really a short answer. But what I said, given, you know, just a sentence or two, is to look for a dog that's calm and seems fairly comfortable, you know, that, and to, I think, to really be aware of the dog's temperament and how reactive is the dog. You know, a lot of times these types of behaviors can be, you know, so much progress can be made, but to really be clear about what kind of a project that you're taking on, and do you have the time and energy for a dog that really needs somebody who has some time and energy to devote to teaching it how to walk on linoleum if it's lived outside all its life, you know, stuff like that. And so one of the things that's nice about your organization is that you have that information about the dogs. But for people, I think when kind of going back to the first thing you said to, you know, don't fall in love with the dog's picture or the dog's story, but to actually get a sense for the chemistry.
Right.
It's just like people and people. I mean, if you were looking for somebody to date, you know, you're not just like, oh, that person's reasonably attractive. Let's get married.
Right.
You know, it's like you get to know the person and you see if it works and how do you live together and all that stuff. So, you know, it's important to have that in mind as well when you're looking for a pet.
Right. And on that note, oftentimes with shelters and more so private rescues such as mine, I will show a dog to someone and they will say, well, he doesn't seem to really want to bond with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of it is that they've bonded with me.
Mm.
And with the limited time that I have with walking them and doing that, mm-hmm. I try to tell people if the dog keeps turning around and looking at the foster mom, just think how wonderful that dog's going to be with you.
Right.
Because the foster mom doesn't have that kind of time. So that instant, the dog jumping on you, the dog running over and thinking you're God,
right.
It may not happen as likely in a private rescue.
Uh-huh.
As it would in a shelter
right.
that's overcrowded and metal
right.
bowls are clanking.
Dog's like, get me out of here.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. You could be Charles Manson.
Right.
And they go, I love you, let's go.
Right. Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. I'm in, let's go.
And they could be Charles Manson.
Yeah, yeah, true. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog.
thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150. Got it? Cool.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Eric, a fine choice of songs.
We're talking about rescue.
Yes, we are indeed. We're talking with Kim Howard, who's the director of Three Rivers Rescue. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you.
So during this show, we've been talking about what, you know, questions people can ask, things people should look for, keep their eye out for when looking to select a dog to bring home as a new part of the family, whatever family that may be. It might just be a single person. It might be a family with kids, with cats. You know, there's a lot to consider. And if you've missed any part of the show, you can always listen to any of our shows archived on our website, which is dogradioshow.com. You can also find us on iTunes as a free audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. So we were talking about meet the dog in person, make sure that the dog is spayed or neutered. You know, has the dog had any training? It's okay if it hasn't. That's something that you can do. And if you live in the Seattle area, you can do that with me. Sensitivedog.com is my website. Does the dog know any commands? What has the dog been eating and what's the dog's feeding schedule? And of course, to feed the dog regardless of what it has been eating, to make sure that you do get your dog a high quality food. And a great place to go for that would be All the Best Pet Care, because they have a great selection and they can advise you, especially based off of what the dog was eating. Make sure you get vaccine records and to go and meet the dog where it is. Go to the shelter or rescue or foster home. Best not to meet in a parking lot. So to remember that every dog is an individual and that you're really looking for chemistry. You're looking for energy level. You know, dogs have energetic needs and some more than others, just like people. So if you've got a, you know, if you're getting a Weimaraner or a, you know, Husky, you know, this is typically a dog that has a very high energy and needs a lot of exercise. Are you up for that? Kim, you made a great point, and I think that this is a really important thing to sort of wrap up on, is what happens if somebody, you know, adopts a dog and it's really not the best fit for the person and the dog?
Well, prior to adopting a dog, I think it's a good idea to ask.
Yeah.
Ask the rescue, ask the shelter. It's possible. It can be the greatest dog in the world, and it can happen. There is, like you did mention, the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
Give it a week if you can. But if you see an aggressive, something that's scary to you,
yeah,
take the dog back immediately.
Yep.
There's certain behaviors that you don't want to risk.
Yeah.
But ask them what the policy is on a return. We do a 30-day refund.
Uh-huh.
Hoping that you did what I told you to do.
Right.
Like the crate training of the 10-month-old puppy so it doesn't eat your couch.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But nobody's out looking for a companion to have it fail.
Right.
None of us want to fail.
Right.
It happens. And it doesn't mean that dog's going to fail maybe next time, but maybe it's just not a good fit. You should ask what the policy is.
Yeah.
So that you're not, after 24 hours, out your adoption.
Right.
Donation. On something you weren't prepared to have.
Yeah.
And there's times where people have brought dogs back 7 years after they've adopted it because they were diagnosed with brain cancer or they got a divorce. There's a million reasons. Mm. You shouldn't have to feel bad.
Mm.
You will, taking a dog back. But shelters and rescues should also realize it's also an opportunity. If that dog didn't work out, handled well, that'll be a return client. Mm-hmm. That'll be somebody who'll come back and say, you know, we tried this dog and it wasn't the right dog, but you made it okay for us.
Yeah. And it's a hard situation because, you know, it's not, sometimes it's easy and it's a match made in heaven. And sometimes the dogs are a lot. And sometimes, you know, it could range, you know, who knows what the situation is, but sometimes you just got to stick it out too, you know, and figure it out. And to I think, be prepared for that, you know, be clear about what you're up for before you get the dog. Because, you know, in working with people in dog training and behavior, you know, I work with a lot of people on the other end of that where they've gotten the dog and the dog is dangerous. I mean, mm-hmm. like dangerously aggressive, or the dog is just kind of whacked out and needs more structure. And then once you provide that, you end up with a great dog. I mean, my first dog who, you know, played a big role in me having a career with dogs, Chewy, he was, you know, and granted, I wasn't doing what I needed to. I was in college and, you know, I, like you said, I needed to kind of figure out that he needed to be in a crate when I was gone because he just destroyed the house.
Mm-hmm. Lost the couch, didn't you?
Not a couch, but my roommate's bathing suits he had a taste for and just, you know, just ripped those apart. And
that can get expensive on gastric surgery.
Oh, well, yeah, or just in replacing. He didn't actually ingest things, but a bike helmet was $150 out of my college pocket, which was, you know, empty. But Chewy was probably one of the most amazing dogs I'll ever know. And I had to get through that with him. And so, you know, if you're not sure, talk to, you know, your rescue group. And if it's someone like Kim, you're going to be able to, you know, people are going to be able to talk to you and say, gosh, you know, we're really struggling. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to advise them. Or if you don't feel like you can talk with the person from the rescue, then, you know, talk with the trainer in your area who you feel comfortable with and who you feel confident with and bounce it off of them. You know, gosh, this is what's happening. You know, what do I need? Is this workable? Is this not work? I mean, you know, what's going on? Because there it really ranges. And
always go to a trainer.
Yeah.
Any rescue dog, it's the best way to bond with a dog is to show them that, you know, you can go and buy them a lot of toys, and that's nice, but get them into a class and spend that one-on-one time finding what their brain can do.
Yep. Connecting in that way.
Some dogs' brains can do more than others, but it's nice to know.
Well, and it's also about how the brain works, you know, depending on the breed. Nose work is a great thing to do. You know, every dog has a fabulous nose. And something else, too, when you are reading about, you know, these dogs that it just breaks your heart to read about some of the experiences that a lot of dogs have had. And then, you know, you adopt them and you just feel so bad for them. But to be careful to not overcompensate for that too, because even those dogs that were maybe mistreated or neglected, they still need some structure because that's what helps them feel secure in the world. Of course, structure coming from a place of love and patience, but to not overcompensate and, oh my gosh, you know, I can't set any boundaries with this dog because it was maybe abused, and then you're not doing the dog any favors by doing that.
Yeah, don't make excuses for your dog biting the neighbor kid because it was abused as a puppy.
Right.
That's not okay.
Right.
And they do much better with training, just feeling secure. Dogs that came in crawling on their bellies, wetting themselves when you try to touch them, you start training and they're like, oh, hey.
Right.
I'm something.
Yep. Kim, we're just about at the end of the show already.
That went so fast.
I know. Kim is the director of Three Rivers Rescue. You can find her dogs on Pet Finder. Just search for Three Rivers Rescue, or you can punch in 98065. What is it?
Yes, you got it.
65?
That's it.
98065 is the zip code. You can listen to any of our past shows on our website, dogradioshow.com, also on iTunes. Wanted to make a quick announcement. The Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project is having an event on the, I think it's the 14th, but you can go to their website, ahelpproject.org, to learn more about them. Kim, thanks so much for your time today, and I look forward to having you back on the show. All right, thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're headed towards 3 o'clock. Time once again to take a look at our traffic. Well, southbound I-5 is struggling now, northeast 85th on down to the I-90 interchange, and seeing slowing around south 180.